I'm the strawberry.
And I'm the biscuit.
And this is the Steven Universe podcast. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
We're finally back. Took a long break.
Yeah.
But I went back to school and got a job, so...
That's exciting. Yeah. I have chronic pain.
Yeah.
Yay.
But that's what Steven Universe is for. It's for just fun in between all of, you know, life stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched some really good episodes this week.
Yay.
But before that, I want to give a special shout out because we have a fan.
We have a fan.
We have a fan.
Shout out to Maya, who has listened to all of our episodes. Thank you for listening. We love you. And your feedback is valuable.
And will be put to use. And you made my day. And it's great.
Yay!
But yeah, we watched two really good episodes today. And the first one was Lion 3, straight to video.
This is one of my favorite episodes. I say that about every episode.
But
like, for a long time, I would cite this as my favorite episode. Because... I'm a huge Rose Quartz stan, and like when, and this is like her introduction as a character rather than just this like mysterious force. Like, we finally see her, so yeah.
Yeah, before that, she was a name and a picture that you occasionally saw. Yeah,
and you would hear about her from some of the characters, but this is the first time she had a voice.
Yeah, I didn't think about that until this watch, but this is the first time that Steven's ever heard her voice.
Yeah, yeah.
And how intense that must be.
Yeah. Speaking of her voice, she's voiced by, I forget her name, but she's also the voice of Meg in Hercules.
That's right. Yeah, you told me that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
She's got a good voice.
She does. I also feel like it's a very, like sexy voice, like, and that's something I love about Rose, is that she's this like huge fat character, but she's seen as so gorgeous and beautiful.
Well, she's also like, she threw me off the first time I saw her face, because I wasn't she looks a lot like sexier than the other gems. Like all the other gems are like sort of geometric and kind of shapesy. Yeah, and she's like voluptuous.
She's
like
a woman.
Her hair has shine to it. She has her little like lips.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the one that threw me. I was like, whoa.
Whoa, she's beautiful.
And I think that's important because that's how like she does sort of enthrall anyone who sees her. And she becomes,
so true.
We'll
get back to that.
Yeah, let's step
time.
Back for a minute and
let's tell you what happened in this episode.
Yeah, you want to tell this one?
Okay. How does this episode start?
Let's see. He's following around with Lion at the donut shop.
Oh, yeah. He's talking to Sadie, and he's trying to figure out what to eat. And he sees these, like, bag lunches with, like, Sadie's name on them. And each of them is, like, decorated.
Yeah, they each have a little drawing.
Yeah, it's so pretty. And he's like, oh, do you have a snack named after you? And she's like, no. My mom used to make me these lunches every day, and I'm an adult. I don't need her help. And, you know... And he's like, can I have one? And she's like, yeah, sure. And so he takes one, and he's, like, showing Lion what she has to eat. And it's really cute. There's, like, a little sandwich and a cookie shaped like a star. And he starts to wonder. He actually says the words, I wish I knew, like, what she would say to me, what she would make me for lunch.
Yeah, kind of like, he's never had a packed lunch from his mom.
Yeah. And
like, what would she give him?
Yeah, because he's never met her.
And
So, at this point, Lion starts to become really clingy, and he, like, shoves his face up to Steven. Lion reminds me so much of my cat.
Yeah.
Like, my cat is super clingy and wants to be in your face and wants to lick you.
Right.
And, Lion is actually named after Rebecca Sugar's cat, whose name is Lion. fun fact. But, so, Lion's being really clingy, but it's bedtime for Steven, so he's starting to go to bed, but Lion wants to be in his bed, and,
Yeah, it's like if you've ever had a cat or a dog or something, they, you know, they're like, this is my bed
now.
And you're like, no, you have your own bed. Or you just give in and they,
yeah, but Lion's huge, so yeah. Steven's like, no. So Steven goes to sleep, and he has this dream about being in this beautiful pink field. And I love the music that plays when he's in the
little piano, yeah, like sting.
Yeah, and he can't breathe. And he realizes, he hears Pearl's voice shouting, Steven, Steven! And he realizes that he's, like, being suffocated by Lion.
And Lion is just, like, just on him.
On him. Yeah. And Pearl kind of pulls him out. And my favorite thing about Lion is that he kind of obeys whatever people say. And she says, let go. Like, yeah. Like, she says, let go. And he, like, does. And she, like, falls back. And, like, earlier we saw he took them to a movie. Mm-hmm. And Steven said, I want to see lots of explosions. So he takes them to the, like, armory with the, like, explosions.
Yeah, and when Lion started to get clingy, Steven said something of, like, I wish I could talk to her or something.
Yeah, so it's, like, he kind of does obey, like, in his own way, in a way that maybe they don't expect. But anyway, so Steven's like, Pearl, what are you doing here? And she's like, she tries to make an excuse, but she ends up admitting, I like to watch you sleep sometimes.
Like, most
what
nights.
The hell, Mom?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Pearl's got some issues sometimes.
Pearl's also very clingy, just like Lion is being right now. So Steven goes back to bed, and he opens his eyes, and both Lion and Pearl are kind of staring at him. And he, like, waves his pillow, and he's like, go away, Steven needs to rest. And so they leave. And Steven goes back to sleep, and he has this dream about
helicopter
dogcopter, which, again, so this episode is called Lion 3 Straight to Video, and I think there's one before that, which was like
Lion 2. I think that was
that
the
was
movie.
The one where they go to the movie, and so it kind of links back to that because dogcopter's there.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing checkers, but, like, dogcopter beats him with, like, a chess piece, and he spouts some wisdoms about creating art.
I love that in Steven's dream is him just talking about how to, like, be nice to people.
Yeah,
like dogcopter him is talking to himself about just, like, how it's important to, like, to care for people.
Yeah, and,
like,
everything you create has to be from your voice.
Right, so even in his dreams, he's just, like,
he's
such
a good
helpful.
Person. Yeah. Such a sweetie. Yeah. And so dogcopter spouts the wisdoms, and then he eats the chess piece.
Of course.
Of course. And then he tells Steven to take a deep breath. And Steven does, and he appears back in the field. And with the beautiful piano music and the pink.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, wait a minute. And he realizes that Lion's on top of him again. He's like, Lion, get off me! And he wakes up, and he's like, that's it. And he kicks Lion out. And,
because Lion keeps trying to, like, force his face into the truck.
Yeah. In fact, I think he's like, oh, you wanted a belly rub? And he starts to belly rub him. And just like a cat, Lion, like, grabs onto him mm-hmm. and shoves his face into his mane.
And so, yeah, you can tell Lion's trying to, like get
Steven,
his face
yeah.
in his fur for some reason. And it's annoying Steven.
And Steven doesn't really understand why. And he kicks Lion out. But Lion's being really cute and is, like, blinking. And he's like, oh, okay, and he lets him back in, and, lets him back in, and he's, like, what happens?
He hugs him, and he then sort of just, like, merges into
his
fur, and appears in that, like,
field
pink
again.
Field. Yeah.
And he realizes that it wasn't his dream, it was an actual place in Lion's mane.
Yeah.
Which is why
Lion has, like, this pocket dimension
inside
his fur.
Inside his fur.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And
it's
so,
really cool.
Steven starts to experiment by sticking his face in and out of it. And, like, and then he, like, actually climbs in. And he sees this sort of island in the field with a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks towards it. And he has to, like, go back into the grass to, like, breathe again. And his face sticks out of Lion's mane. And he reaches the island, and he sees, like, various objects that are clearly left there by Rose.
Right, like, little memorabilia, something from his dad, like, just
the t-shirt
little
that he gives Rose. Did we see that yet?
Not yet, but
okay.
It's, like,
but
you
there's
know,
a, yeah, there's a Mr. Universe
collects it.
T-shirt,
yeah.
There's a chest, I think,
a
and
sword,
there's
a sword, and, yeah.
There's a friggin' a bubble with a gem inside it.
Uh-huh.
But Steven goes for this videotape, which has his name on it. Mm-hmm. It says, "For Steven." And then he realizes that he can't breathe, so he runs outside, and he comes outside Lion's Mane. And Pearl and the other gems are there, and they're like... And she's like, "Oh, you have to watch Steven because Lion keeps doing this to him." And instead of talking to them, Steven immediately runs to the donut shop. And because previously he knows that there's a VCR player there. So
for those who don't know, there's a thing called VHS. And it came before DVDs.
For the youngins.
Yes.
Back in our day.
Back in our day, when you want to watch something on TV and you had to tape it live so you can watch it later.
And I remember I had like all the Disney movies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I used to tape episodes of So You Think You Could Dance.
Oh my God.
So I could watch the dances again. Wow. And now we have YouTube. So.
Yeah. So we don't need to do that.
But yeah, so he needs a VCR to play.
And so he whispers to Sadie that he needs it, and Sadie immediately unlocks the donut shop and lets them in, and they start to watch this video. And it starts off on the beach, and you can hear this voice, and I think even Sadie says, "Steven, that voice,"
because
it's Rose's voice. It's the first time you hear Rose's voice.
They're just like taping this like family day at the beach.
Yeah.
His dad's there. And it's just the two of them.
And it's clearly a video they're making for Steven, because she asks Greg to introduce himself to Steven. And
she's talking to him and telling him about how it's so great about the world and humans and how much she loves it.
Enamored by it.
Yeah.
And that she's so excited that even though she's not going to exist, she's going to be part of him and she's going to be human. And that's like such a beautiful thing. And and she says, "Anytime you love your life and love being you, that's me loving you and loving being you."
Mm-hmm.
And everyone cries. Like, yeah. I didn't cry this time because I've seen this episode about 5 times, but like I used to cry every time.
And it's, there's like a strangely aware moment from Lars,
because he comes in and he's like, "What are you guys doing?" And they're both tearing up,
and he just sort of backs away of like,
"I'll give you space.
You guys need a moment."
Yeah. And my favorite part of this episode is that Steven leaves, and it ends with Sadie calling her mom and saying, "Hey, I know I told you to stop making me those lunches,
because you know, she's her mom.
She realizes like how lucky she is to have a mom."
And
like,
her mom does it because she loves her. And
Yeah. It's so beautiful, and I love it so much. Such a good episode.
It is. It's a real tearjerker.
I think they built up Rose so much, and she delivered. Like,
yeah, I love that the way that you're introduced to her, because they build her up as this sort of like mythic figure, this powerful thing, and the way that Steven meets her is a very quiet, just like... mom talking to how much she loves him.
Yeah.
And just having a nice day at the beach with his dad. You know, it's like he meets her as a mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
As his mom.
It's so much more personal and so much less this like looming figure that's like, you know, that he has to live up to. It's just all she wants from him is to love life.
Yeah.
Which is what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And he's living up to what she wants. And so beautiful.
Yeah.
I love Rose's, like, affection for Earth and humans, like, and we'll see it more later, but, like, just how much she loves this planet and, like, why she chose to defend it, like, it makes me appreciate being human and my existence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. In the same vein, I've just watched a Doctor Who, and that's one of my favorite things about the Doctor Who episodes, is that he's always like, humanity's so great for these reasons. Like, because you're faulty, but because you try. And you're just like, oh.
And, you know, we like, especially like in this political climate, which I hear so often these days, like, it's good to have something that like brings back your faith in humanity.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it's such a good children's show, because it's all about just, like, love and mistakes and learning.
Yeah, and, like, this world isn't perfect, but one of the things that will make it perfect is you being kind to other people. Yeah. It's so on message. I love it so much.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Warped Tour.
Okay. Yeah, Warped Tour is a different kind of episode. So it starts with the Gems just finishing a mission. They're at some field. I kind of, it makes me think of the strawberry field a little bit, because there's like all these hearts and stuff, and it feels like maybe sort of a location of an old gem battle or something like that. But they've just finished a mission. Pearl and Amethyst are actually like being nice and complimenting each other.
They're like on the being battle. Blushy, and I low-key ship it. Like,
that's really cute.
I'm not a Pearlmethyst shipper, but like, I was digging that vibe.
It was really nice. Like, they're kind of embarrassed to be complimenting each other. Yeah, you know,
it's sort of a shy sort of acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Like,
it was very cute. And Steven's having a rough time because his allergies have kicked in.
Yeah.
And so they start to warp home. And Steven...
He's, like, leaking various fluids. Oh, I think he sneezes on Garnet, too.
Probably. Yeah, he sneezes and shoots out his head out of the warp, like...
Yeah.
Like, light?
Yeah.
The warp itself.
Yep.
And he sees sort of like, almost like a galaxy kind of out there.
There's like a storm.
Yeah.
Like
it's
lightning.
It's like this sort of weird, like, in between of wherever they are mid warp. And he sees another warp and he sees some little like sphere shoot through it. And so he comes in, he's trying to like tell the Gems, and they're insistent that nothing else warps. They are the only thing on Earth that can warp. And he just thought he saw something.
Yeah.
But it keeps him up at night, and he's, like, scared that whatever it is gonna come and get him, and, you know, Amethyst is, like,
making fun of him,
ribbing him, being very, like,
sisterly.
Like, mean big sisterly.
Yeah.
but he keeps, like, staying up all night, and,
with his water gun.
With his little water gun waiting, and the Gems just keep telling him, like, a Pearl is especially, like,
insistent.
There is nothing out there. You're wrong. Like, you know you're wrong, right? Yeah, okay. but I like Garnet does sort of the thing of, like, the parent who, like, the kid's scared of, like, something under their bed, and they're like, we'll check it together.
Yeah.
You know? So she's like, let's go look. Or Pearl's trying to just convince him that he's wrong, and Garnet's like, we'll take a look.
Yeah.
Like, let's go, I'll show you that there's nothing out there.
Yeah.
So they warp to, like, various places that they've been before.
It's a nice, like, nod to previous episodes.
Right, you know, you see, like,
the geode.
The geode that they fixed, and the, like, forget what the mountain was, the place that he met Opal.
When he met Opal. And they see Steven Jr. again.
Steven Jr. the goat.
And Steven Jr. the goat has two baby goats.
Yeah.
And Steven's a grandpa!
Yeah.
Yay!
But Steven's, like, really upset during all this.
Yeah, he's not feeling the happiness.
Yeah, and they end up at their sort of, like, the warp, I forget what it's called now, the, like, hub.
The hub, yeah. The galaxy warp.
The galaxy warp, yeah, where there's multiple warp points that are all broken.
That lead off-planet.
Uh-huh. And they're like, see, nothing's here. They're all broken. Like, nothing can be done. And they're all sort of self-congratulating each other that they made Steven feel better. And
he's like,
no, you didn't.
I don't feel better.
I feel bad. And I was like, this is a really good moment of, like, you kind of reach that point with a kid and a parent when, like, the kid stops being, like, the little one that doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
Because, like, for the first several, you know, the first many years of childhood, the parent is like, I know better. I know you think you know something, but, like, I know the truth, and I have to be in charge.
Yep.
And then you reach that little tipping point when the kid's like, I think I know, like, I have an idea of my own. Like, I understand
something.
Why aren't
you listening to me?
Yeah, I have some independence now, and the parent's not used to that shift yet, so they're like, so these ones are like, of course Steven's wrong, of course you know, and we'll fix it, he'll be fine. And Steven's like,
no,
I still, like, I'm pretty sure I feel this way, like, I know something that you don't. And it's like that, you see that little bat-like power shift in that moment, where he's like, this is the point that he starts, like, participating a little more, I think. But anyway, they end up back home, and Steven, he's like, yelling about, fine, like, nothing's happening, nothing's gonna come, and a little sphere just, like,
burst through the roof.
Yeah, it's, like, meteor-like.
Yep.
just slams in, and Steven starts cackling in that, like, that sleep-deprived hysterical thing of, like, ha-ha, I'm right.
Yep.
And it's this little, like, this little green sphere with, like...
feet.
Yeah, little feet, and it...
it looks very Apple, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Apple
like
made it.
Clean lines, and... I mean, I don't know about you. At this point, I was fairly sure that it was, like, a little robotic something.
Yeah.
Just because of the design.
Yeah.
And it's trying to get to the warp, and Steven's trying to stop it and ends up warping with it.
Yeah. Oh, but at first, it, like, breaks the warp pad in the... because they're fighting, they're tussling, and it kind of slams against the warp pad, and there's, like, a little, like, wedge cut out of it, and it just sprays this kind of liquid on it, and it kind of heals the warp pad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they both end up in the warp, and then more spheres join.
Yeah.
And you had a...
and they all pile on top of Steven, and he looks like a little cranberry.
Yeah.
And
I think you mean raspberry.
No, cranberry.
Okay.
Maybe I do mean raspberry. What do cranberries look like?
They're just a little, like, red circle.
Oh, never mind. You're right. Raspberry. Look, I don't eat fruits, okay?
You should do that.
I don't like fruits. I don't like fruits and vegetables.
We'll
I'm still a child.
We'll
I eat chicken nuggets and ketchup. Anyway.
Yeah, all right. So there's a ton of them. And Steven started tussling with them, and he ends up
floating outside the warp stream.
He flies outside. It's kind of space-like.
And there's no air out there, but he's holding one of the spheres.
He's holding one, and it's really cold. And he's just like, I was right, but now I'm going to die. And all of a sudden, a warp
stream
appears next to him, and Garnet's hands
reach out
and grab him
hold
in.
Him. And I'm so glad that it's Garnet.
Uh-huh.
Like, because if I was, like, about to die, I would want Garnet to hug me.
Yeah, I know. And she like cradles him, and it's very motherly.
Yeah.
And the other gems show up, and they are like, oh shit, this is
like, is he okay?
Real.
Yeah. And they see the sphere, and they're like, oh shit, we should have listened to him.
Yeah. And they see that it's real, and they go to
and Garnet even admits like,
yeah, we
you're a crystal gem too. We should have listened to you.
Yeah. That's a big moment where she's like, yeah, you're one of us.
And we should take you seriously.
You have a voice.
Yeah.
And so they go, they follow all of the warps with the different spheres to the galaxy warp. And they all pile together and they fix the homeworld warp.
Yeah.
By spraying that fluid. And the gems get really scared
really
because
freaked out.
That means that someone's coming from homeworld.
Yeah.
And so they hide and a gem comes down. And
it's Peridot.
Yeah, she like is making sort of a captain's log of her findings on Earth, and she introduces herself as Peridot. And
Steven is really excited because he's like, "Look, another gem!
A new gem!" And the other
gems
are
terrified.
Yeah,
like we've never seen them this scared before.
And Peridot notices that Steven had left a little sticker on the warp pad,
the crying breakfast friend,
and decides the place is compromised. She warps away and leaves a little detonator to take out all of the
little
spheres.
Little robot spheres,
yeah. And we find out Pearl's panicking because she's like, I can't do it again, they're coming back.
Yeah.
And Garnet, like you said, whenever there's a question, answer equal punch.
Punch.
So just...
punch the problem.
She smashes the warp pad of like, no, they're not coming back.
Yeah. And that's how the episode ends.
I know, and it gives you chills.
Yeah.
So
I remember watching this for the first time and being like, because if the gems are scared, like, something serious is happening. Like, yeah.
I watched this section a little out of order because I still, there's a good chunk of these episodes that I would just wander in and my roommates were watching them.
Right.
So I met Peridot a little later,
uh-huh.
and she definitely freaked me out.
Yeah.
So I imagine that I would have at this point, too.
Been really freaked out.
But, she's this sort of ominous figure.
Yeah.
And you don't really
don't know
what she wants.
Her. She's just mysterious and scary.
Yeah,
just,
exactly.
Yeah.
So those are our episodes today.
Yeah. Oh, do you want to talk about the Peridot?
Yeah, yeah. So we have a new gem, and what we like to do here is
talk about the real life meanings that different cultures have applied to these gems.
Yeah, and it's just sort of cursory, but I like to find out if there's any sort of thought behind it or if it lines up with the character. And so in a little look at Peridot, a lot of them talk about it being helpful to aid like friendships and supposedly free the mind of envious thoughts, which I think is kind of funny because I'm not sure if Peridot is free of envy, but it is very kind of central to her character, I think. And then it also says that it's something that brings happiness and good cheer. And I think that can be Peridot at some times. I don't
or not. Well, but that goes into spoiler territory.
Yeah, it's like
her crossing over. Right now, she does not seem that way at all.
No,
so I think that's pretty interesting.
I think it's an interesting kind of background on Peridot, and so we'll find out what her whole deal is because we don't know her personality yet.
She also seems very robotic. Like, her hands are, like, these floating cylinders.
Yeah, they're floating cylinders that are also, like, what the little spheres are. They have, like,
they have
floating
cylinder legs. Yeah. So she seems very, like, technologically advanced and, like, from the future, almost.
And when she was making her log, she's very, like, dry and technical.
Yeah.
So we don't really get much out of her yet.
Yeah.
We just know that she's, like, she's there for a job. Uh-oh, it's been compromised, and she bounces.
Yep.
I would love to get into spoilers with you.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we do, I want to say goodbye to our listeners that are listening through for the first time and don't want any spoilers. Are glad to have you here. Hope you're enjoying it. And you can follow us on Twitter at
Barry Biscuit SU.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
On Twitter at Barry Biscuit SU or Gmail at strawberryandbiscuit@gmail.com. And tell us what you think. Tell us what you like, don't like, any of that. We're going to be off to Spoiler Town.
To Spoilersville.
And music goes here.
Okay.
Okay. Let's do it.
Let's talk about spoilers. Okay, so now that we know some, like, serious shit about Rose Quartz, how did this episode feel to you watching Rose talk about this stuff?
I really liked that I felt genuine love from her.
Yeah.
For Steven especially.
Yeah.
And I think that no matter what else she did, that is genuine.
Yeah.
Like, I think she really, really loves Steven.
Steven loves Earth, loves humans, loves Greg.
Loves Greg, yeah, exactly. And she, it gets rougher with some other stuff, but I don't think that was ever a lie.
Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like watching it now that I get some vibes of, like, Rose being kind of, what's the word? Like, almost frivolous, like, focused on, like, joy and, like, happiness and not mm-hmm. really talking about the dark side of things. Like, she mentions that she's not going to exist anymore. And, like, that's it. She doesn't really talk about that and how, you know, she is kind of abandoning these people that she said she would lead.
Yeah.
You know, the Crystal Gems.
And it kind of goes along with, I was thinking about that, too, with, like, she just starts new lives just to see how it is.
Yeah.
Kind of, or it's like, she became Rose because she's like, this seems interesting. This
yeah.
seems fun. I want to try this.
Yeah, she's very childlike.
Yeah, and then she becomes Steven because she's like, this is the next thing.
Yeah.
You know, so she is, and she, and in both cases, she left people behind.
Yeah.
And left people kind of heartbroken that she was gone.
Yeah.
But.
And directionless, almost,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And it's one of those things, I think it's good to try new things, to try ways of life. I think where her fault comes in is she doesn't quite give closure to those that she's leaving.
Yeah.
So, like, her family thought she was dead, or the crystal gems, she didn't quite explain
what to do,
or set them up on some sort of, like, path or something before she left.
She's so complicated. I still love, like, the things she says about, you know, human beings and
mm-hmm.
Earth. Like, she totally believes in them, and I totally believe her. Like,
yeah,
for sure. Ooh, we should talk about Lars and Lion and how they're kind of linked now.
Yeah.
So, Steven kind of saves Lars's life, anyway, uh-huh. by, like, crying on him. And then he turns into this, like, pink creature. And we find out, like, we kind of infer that Lion is the same way.
Yeah, which, like, for whatever reason, we don't know the story, but it kind of means that Lion must have died at some point.
Yeah.
Because Rose had a lion, a pride.
Yeah.
And one of them must have died, and she brought it back to life. And
yep.
it became this...
this lion.
Yeah, it became sort of infused, very possibly, like, a long life.
Yeah.
Because I think it was probably a while back that she had.
Yeah.
And then the hair becomes the pocket dimension,
yeah.
which is... I'm forgetting that. Is Lars's dimension
yes.
linked to Lion's?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, that's right.
That's how Steven visits him.
It's
like he goes through Lion's
same,
and
like,
comes out of
space.
Lars's.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really fascinating.
It's so cool. How the hell does it work? We don't know.
No.
Also, we see Bismuth. We see a lot of things that allude to episodes that are coming up. We see the Rose's sword. Like, Bismuth in the bubble, the Mr. Universe t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're all, very specifically planted. And that was one that a lot of people, I think, saw Bismuth coming because they saw the bubble. And again, me, I was like, oh, look, a videotape.
Yeah.
I wasn't really...
Especially because,
caring,
like,
about what else was in there.
I think you were watching at the point where, like, you were able to keep watching, whereas
we
were like, okay, this is what we have, let's analyze the fuck out of it.
Yeah, that's probably why,
like,
I didn't get into it as much,
yeah.
is that I came in when I could sort of binge my way through most of the seasons.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So, like, we were, like, immediately people identified this gem as Bismuth, because Bismuth has a very particular look.
Yeah.
And it was
so pretty.
Very clear that it was Bismuth. So, like, lots of people had a bunch of theories on who's Bismuth, and
why is she
being a prisoner, kept a prisoner, not with the other bubble gems, but in this like, pocket,
like,
dimension.
Rose's,
that,
like, secret room.
That the other gems don't seem to know about. Like, they don't know that Lion belongs to Rose at all. And,
yeah.
like, they're very surprised that Bismuth is there.
I don't think they know at this point. I don't think Steven's told them yet that dimension even exists.
He doesn't tell them for a long time.
Yeah.
Until the Rose's Scabbard episode, where
he's
like, oh, you want the sword? I have it. And she's like, and Pearl gets very shaken by that.
Yeah.
But, Bismuth was a secret from the rest of the crystal gems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of many.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention, too, the in Warped Tour, when Garnet comes for Steven. I love watching it right now, because you know what Steven knows.
Yeah.
And it makes perfect sense that if he's in trouble, Garnet's going to be there.
Yeah.
Because it is that kind of, like, if I'm in trouble, Mom will fix it.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it
is that, like, you just, like, I was watching and I wasn't surprised that she found him and she got him.
Yeah.
And watching it now, you're like, future vision.
Yeah.
You know?
We have an explanation for
it. Because it is, like, how on earth would she find him in the void?
Yeah, exactly.
But why would he question it at that point?
Exactly.
You know, she can do things.
Really quick, jumping back to Lion 3.
Uh-huh.
Sadie's mom is also vaguely, like, mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, we find out that Sadie's mom is, like, a character.
Uh-huh.
She's very, like, she wants to be very involved in Sadie's life. And, like, we can see that from the lunches. And, like, it's foreshadowed. Everything is foreshadowed. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's so funny to me that when the whole Rose Quartz thing was revealed, that so many Steven Universe fans were like, oh, you just took this fan theory and ran with it. When, no, they plan everything meticulously.
You see it a lot. Like, I don't think we've gotten to it yet, but I'm going to try to pay special attention to the times when Pearl clasps her hands over her mouth. And see if they're all specifically about things that she couldn't physically say.
Yeah.
Because, it's just sort of like a Pearl, like, mannerism.
Yeah.
That you're just like, how Pearl reacts to bad news. Yep, but no.
It's so much more than that.
Yeah. It's like a tick.
Yeah.
It's really fun watching this. I know we always say it, but it's really fun watching this through another time because you catch all of
this stuff. Yeah.
This episode, Line Straight to Video, is always going to be just, like, a heartwarming thing about just a mom talking to her kid.
And Steven meeting his mom for the first time.
But it is it has a lot more, like,
depth.
Baggage and depth to it now. I do really love, can I just say, I know that I've gushed about Sadie a lot.
Yeah.
But I always love the fact that, like, he watches it with her.
Yes.
And she's, like, there with him. Because I feel like Steven kind of talks about how he doesn't have friends his own age other than Connie.
Yeah.
But I feel like he and Sadie get really close.
Yeah.
Like, and they continue to get close. Or, where she, like, she really cares about him as a friend and not just about, like, he's Steven.
Yeah.
You know, but she's like, no, they're like,
they're actually friends.
Yeah, I'd say, like, she'd be one of his best friends.
Yeah.
And I like that they
bond.
I like that they bond, and I like that the show does that in a way that, like, makes sense.
Yeah, it's very natural.
Mm-hmm.
Organic.
It's never, like,
forced.
Yeah, and there's not, like, a lantern hung on it. It's just, like,
it just happened, mm-hmm. like a normal friendship would.
Exactly.
So, okay, back to work. Peridot. Oh my god.
Okay, well now I can say it because I didn't quite think it through.
Yeah.
But my little gem description is very spoilery.
Yeah.
Because Peridot, I was like, oh yeah, this makes sense. Peridot like brings cheer and fun and friendship.
And but that's all the things that she has to learn to like become.
Yeah.
And like it's so funny that she starts off as this like scary, looming, mysterious person because she's such a harmless little twig.
She's like, such a goofball.
I know, and she's such a cartoon character. Like she's very Looney Tunes.
She always makes me think of like in The Lion King when Mufasa's trying to teach Simba to roar, and he's like, "Rar!" That's her. Like she's trying to be intimidating.
Yeah,
or she's like. She, like, hides behind someone and she's
and
like...
And I'm just like, how
she's
did
like, I'm
we...
I'm gonna get you!
How did we fall for this? Like, even the first episode that, like, we see her, she has this, like, she sees this crying breakfast friend and she's like, we must leave! Like, she's scared. Mm-hmm. And, like, oh my god. But she's so cute. I love her so much.
Yeah, I do like that, because you're trying to think of, like, how a personality shifts, how she can be this Peridot and she can be the later Peridot, because they're so different.
Yeah.
But I think it is just, like...
Being around
Steven too, but also, like, she has a job to do, and in Homeworld, like, if you're doing your job, and it just is, like...
Your duty and your...
Yeah, but it's also just, like, it's predictable, it's easy. Yeah. You know, it's, like, it's not easy,
that's
but it's,
true.
Like, it's, like, today I check on this, and then I go here, and then I do that, and then I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's, and if nothing... If nothing throws you off, then you're probably just like, yep, I'm good at my job, I'm doing it, and, and like...
This is what I was made for.
She probably has a lot of confidence in that, where she's just like, I did it, checked it off, done.
Yeah.
And then things start going wrong, and she's like, wait, this isn't how it's supposed
to
work. You know, like, what are you talking about? And so you get that sort of neurotic underside of her.
Yeah. She does seem very, like... perfectionist, like,
mm-hmm. and
everything
she's got,
in its place.
She's got her tech, and like, you know, she makes her log, and she, you know, she has her robots, and everything, you know, works. She's very robotic herself at this point.
Yeah,
Where
yeah.
she's just kind of like, she's like, yep.
And even Steven's like, oh, the little spheres are like her babies, and then she like crushes one underfoot.
Because
like,
it's broken, and she's like, this one's broken, it's defective.
We don't need it. Yeah.
All right, we'll get a new one.
Exactly.
Or like, yeah, she wipes out all of them because they're like, they've done their job, bye.
Yeah.
You know?
And, which is a very gem way of thinking. Like,
mm-hmm.
oh, we built this person, basically,
mm-hmm.
this gem, because we needed it to do this. And if it's not doing this, it's broken.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need it anymore.
Right. Everything's very purpose-based.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm so excited. Like I got so excited to see Peridot.
Yeah,
because like I love her so much.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm so excited to get there. I think her arc honestly is one of
the best.
Yeah, the best things, because it is watching somebody who has some really bad ways of thinking, like, actually reform.
And change.
And become beloved.
And this is, like, such a theme in Steven Universe, where you take something scary that's, like, a villain, mm-hmm. and then it slowly becomes your friend. And, like, it slowly becomes, like, calmer and, like, less, I don't know, chaotic.
Which I think is really important, like you said, nowadays.
Yeah.
It's really hard, and it's hard to know when you can and can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, everything about today, we're talking about, you know, like, if someone's toxic to you, you leave for you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you hear stories about, like, you know, this man who converted all of these neo-Nazis to see, like, the error of their ways. And you're like, they both exist, and they're both good.
And
so it's, like, I like that idea of, like, it's not always up to you to save somebody, or, like, not up to you to change somebody, but if you have it in you, it, like, can be done. And I love that idea. Like, it's such a human thing.
I also feel like a big part of it is, you know, what if you are the abusive one? What if you are broken? What mm-hmm. if you are toxic? And you can change, and that can come from you.
Yeah.
You have to want it, and you have to be surrounded by love, but you can do it. And that's also a really beautiful, important message for, mm-hmm. like, everyone, that, like, you know, if you're a bad person, often you're, like, so isolated, and you feel like you can't change. And, like, I think that that's a really important message for kids, too.
Yeah, I mean, if you're isolated, you're never going to learn how to change.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it's one of those, it's always that complicated thing that I come back to a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's like, again, it's not up to you to
change the world.
Right. And you know, it's like, if you're like, I can't be around this person, then you're like, that's okay.
Yeah.
But I do love that idea that people can come back from that.
Yeah.
Come back from doing horrible things or having a horrible way of thinking.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's not the end, necessarily.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, like, Steven Universe, thank you.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Whew.
It's just so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to come, and I'm excited to get there.
Yeah. So, what's next?
Next, we have
Alone Together.
Alone Together, which is an amazing episode.
Yeah.
And then, what was after that?
We always do this.
Yeah, I know. It's because Hulu always sleeps while we're talking.
So, next time we're going to watch Alone Together and The Test.
Right. And The Test actually is it comes off of Warped Tour really well.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it is like
Garnet, trusting Steven.
Yeah, like Garnet says, you're one of the Crystal Gems too now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can be part of the team.
Yeah.
You're gonna start being part of the group.
Yeah.
And so that's cool. Alright.
I'm so excited.
Oh my gosh. Also, we're in spoiler town, so it works. But we're almost to Future Vision, so we can start talking about that.
Oh my god. Like, every single time. I'm like, have we done that yet?
No.
I guess not.
Yeah, so we're really close to having Future Vision in the first half of this. Yay! Anyway,
thank you so much for listening.
Yep. And watch it, love it, and talk about it. Bye!
Bye.